If there's one thing that COVID-19 has done, it's gotten the church praying more. A global day of prayer to end coronavirus was held on Tuesday, March 3rd. The United States set aside Sunday, March 15th as a national day of prayer. Canada had her own national day of prayer on Saturday, March 28th, followed by another global day of prayer on Sunday, March 29th. Saturday, April 4th, was the Gospel Coalition's day to fast and pray, while Sunday, April 19th, was set aside as a day of prayer by our own Feb Central region. In the midst of all of these calls to corporate prayer, Pope Francis called on all Christians everywhere to pray the Lord's Prayer together on Wednesday, March 25th, saying this: "In these trying days, while humanity trembles due to the threat of the pandemic, I would like to propose to all Christians that together we lift our voices toward heaven. I invite all the heads of the churches and the various leaders of every Christian community, together with all Christians of the various confessions, to invoke the Almighty, the Omnipotent God, to recite at the same time the prayer that Jesus our Lord taught us. I therefore invite everyone to do this several times a day, but all together to recite the Our Father this coming Wednesday, 25th of March at noon, all together. On that day, on which many Christians recall the Annunciation to the Virgin Mary of the Incarnation of the Word, may the Lord listen to the united prayer of all His disciples who are preparing themselves to celebrate the victory of the risen Christ." Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, gave his backing to the call for Christians around the world to join in saying the Lord's Prayer by saying this: "When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, He taught them the words that we know as the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. This prayer gives us words to pray even when we don't know how or what to pray. I will therefore be joining with Pope Francis and with Christians all around the world to pray the Lord's Prayer at 11 a.m. London time," which was 12 a.m. in Rome, "tomorrow, March 25th, commending the world, into God's merciful care at this difficult time." I like the Archbishop's words when he says that the Lord's Prayer gives us words to pray even when we don't know how or what to pray. And maybe that's been you in the face of this coronavirus. Knowing that God is sovereign and that He has designs in all of this, and knowing that countless people are suffering physically, emotionally, and spiritually in light of this pandemic, maybe you think to yourself, how do I pray? What should I pray? In fact, you might even wish that Jesus would drop His prayer list into your lap so that you might know how to best pray in light of both this deadly coronavirus and our eternal Heavenly Father's will. Lord, teach us to pray, you might say. Give us words so that we might know what to say, and give us guidance so that we might know how to best go about this sacred duty, this holy privilege that we enjoy. Lord, teach us to pray. As we return again to our study in the Gospel of Luke, we will find that this is where we are in our course of study. We find today that the disciples will be going to Jesus, asking Him to teach them to pray. And I would invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 11 to see how Jesus responded to their request. Because while the Lord's Prayer itself might be familiar to you. He has much more to say about how to pray that we would do well to listen to and to appropriate as our own. So again, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, where I will be reading from verse 1 through to verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him"? And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" As Luke notes in verse 1, the occasion for our Lord's teaching on prayer here is his own prayer life. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." "We see you're praying, Lord. Teach us to pray the same way." Jesus' response comes in 2 waves. Each of which is introduced with the words, "and he said to them." We see these words at the beginning of verse 2, introducing the Lord's Prayer, or what we ought to say. And we see these words again at the beginning of verse 5, introducing further teaching from our Lord in terms of how we should go about praying. If I were to summarize our Lord's teaching on prayer here, I would use 3 simple adverbs. And say that Jesus taught us to pray methodically, persistently, and confidently. First, Jesus taught his disciples to pray methodically. When Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, his response began with these words, "When you pray, say," and then he gave them a pattern to follow. This same pattern, with only a few variations, appeared in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as well. There, after warning those listening not to be like the hypocrites, standing to pray in the synagogues and street corners that they might be seen by others, or like the Gentiles who, in their prayers, heap up empty phrases thinking that they will be heard for their many words, Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That Jesus repeated this pattern in his teaching ministry on prayer is significant. Evidently, he wanted these words to guide us in coming before the Father in prayer. Having said that, John MacArthur is right to note that having warned against meaningless repetition in prayer, also in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would hardly have given his followers a prayer to recite mechanically. Far from being merely another ritual prayer, the Lord's Prayer is a skeleton or framework for all prayer. As such, it is of great practical value. If you do not know how to pray, what to say, take up the Lord's Prayer and use it to guide you. Look at each phrase, read each phrase, recite each phrase, and riff on it. Just think of yourself as a jazz musician, right? Here's where we start, and we just play from here. In fact, on March 26th, the day after the Pope called all Christians everywhere to say the Lord's Prayer with him in response to the coronavirus, Matthew Block, the editor of the Canadian Lutheran, published an extended Lord's Prayer that read as follows. Here's what it means to riff on the Lord's Prayer, and to do so with coronavirus in mind. He said this, "Our Father, O God, you call us to be your children. Be a father to us now in our distress. Hallowed be thy name. O God, in your name is mercy and salvation. Teach us to honor that name in all things and to call upon it in every trouble." There's one way in which we honor and hallow the Lord's name. We run to the name of the Lord in our trouble. He is the only one who can help us in our distress. "Thy kingdom come, O God, you rule heaven and earth. Bless the work of the church, that your kingdom would continue to be proclaimed even in this time of upheaval and disruption. Give us this day our daily bread. O God, provision for all our earthly needs comes as a gift from you. Remember those facing financial uncertainty and hardship in this crisis, and grant them everything needful. Soften the hearts of your people, that we would share freely with those who have less. And forgive us our trespasses. O God, you desire the death of no person, but instead seek the salvation of all. Draw all people to yourself in this time of increased awareness of human mortality, that we would find in your Son, Jesus Christ, forgiveness for our sins and the hope of eternal life. As we forgive those who trespass against us. O God, your mercy is over all you have made. Make us conduits of your love and your grace, showing to others the forgiveness and reconciliation you have first shown to us. And lead us not into temptation. O Lord, you do not shift like shadows. Neither are you wearied by the changes and chances of this life. Be our soul's anchor in this trial. Befriend the lonely, comfort the sick, and console the dying. Defend us from the temptation to despair of your love. You are our fortress. Let us not be shaken. Notice again how methodical this prayer is. Even as we express our own fears and concerns, our own desires for health and safety, we are called to put God's name and His kingdom purposes first. It is true then that the Lord's Prayer helps us to pray when we don't know what to pray. Now, there is a lot in this prayer. that we would do well to mine as we seek to learn from it and pray well in these difficult days. In fact, let me encourage you to listen to the Campbell Connects podcast this week as we will be looking at each of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer in some detail. But for now, what I want you to notice is that when the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray, he gives them words. That is to say that there is nothing wrong with using pre-formed prayers. Over the years, my soul has been greatly helped in coming to God in prayer by using the Psalms, the Lord's Prayer, the various prayers of the Apostle Paul in his letters, even the Anglican Book of Common Prayer, or the collection of Puritan prayers known as the Valley of Vision. Most recently, I have been helped by a book that my wife gave me for Christmas entitled Every Moment Holy. There are countless prayers out there that you can use. The issue isn't whether you are using something that has been prepared beforehand. The issue is your heart in it as you're praying it? Or are you simply reciting words mindlessly? The former is prayer, the latter is not. And oh, what a gift the Lord's Prayer is to us in giving us words. John Piper rightly suggests that a healthy prayer life will be marked by prayers that are both free and formed. Here he says that what he has in mind is the difference between structured and unstructured prayer. If you are only free in your prayers, he says, you will probably become shallow and trite. If you are only formed in your prayers, you will probably become mechanical and hollow. Both ways of praying are important. Oh, the depth of the riches of a pre-thought-out prayer that can guide us. But oh, the bonds that can be if we do not move beyond what is written on the page so that we can pray what's coming from our hearts. We need both. And in giving his disciples words, Jesus taught them to pray methodically. He also taught them to pray persistently or shamelessly. Look again at the parable in verses 5 to 8. Kent Hughes sought to update this parable and therefore drive the point home by noting that the story begins with friends. Say, a fellow pastor from my church and myself, he says. We'll call this fellow pastor Larry. It is the middle of the night, and an old friend who has been serving the Lord in Kabul, Afghanistan, arrives at Larry's home unexpectedly. The kids have eaten everything in the house, and all the stores are closed. In the past, their unannounced friend had shown wonderful hospitality to their family. And now, the visiting friend is exhausted, famished, and hoping for a return on the favor. Larry, good man that he is, slips out the door, slides into the station wagon, and heads for the Hughes home. His friends of almost 20 years, who always have a full refrigerator because, well, he's the rich senior pastor. Meanwhile, at the Hughes residence, after an exhausting day of family activities, we have gone to bed early, including the 11 grandchildren who are sleeping over. The door has been locked and the chain bolted, and we have been asleep for hours. When the doorbell rings, I just think it's part of my dream. But the bell keeps ringing, interspersed with determined knocks. I stumble out of bed, lift the window, look down from the second story on Larry's bald head and whisper, "Man, it's almost one, and the children are all asleep with us. Go away. I don't care if the mayor of Kabul is at your house. I'm not opening the door. Go ask somebody else." But Larry shamelessly keeps knocking and calling out, "I won't go away until you open the door and give me some food for my guest." When I do not answer, he gets even louder. Soon the neighbor's lights on all sides are going on, so I stumble from my room, stepping across the slumbering little bodies that are lying on the floor, go down the steps, open the cupboard, grab some Doritos, throw them out to Larry, and he's on his way. Can you picture that happening for you? That's our reaction, isn't it? Go away. Hughes goes on to say this, the revealing word in this story is persistence, or as the ESV has it, impudence. It's literally shamelessness. Yet because of the man's shamelessness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Shamelessness generally does not describe a good quality, but it can be bad or good depending on the circumstances. If there are good reasons to feel shame, shamelessness is a bad thing. But if one's cause is good, shameless insistence is good. Here, in light of the legendary commitment of the ancient Palestinians to hospitality, the shamelessness of the man's insistence is to be praised. The shameless carrying on at the doorstep of his sleeping friend was admirable. This was good, excellent shamelessness. And what Jesus was saying here is that if a grouchy friend can be forced by his friend's shameless insistence to give what he ought, how much more will our loving God respond to our shameless petitioning for what we need? This leads very naturally into Jesus' next words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. The verb tense in the Greek suggests ongoing actions. In other words, verse 9 might be better translated, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. There's the picture again of the friend at the door. I need loaves of bread. Keep on knocking. There is something to be said for shameless persistence. It shows that our hearts really, truly want the things we're asking for. I mean, think about this. If you can pray something once and never pray it again, do you really want it? Do you really care? But if we go again and again and again and again, this is our heart's cry. And the Lord will lovingly respond to our shameless petitioning for what we need. Jesus taught his disciples to pray shamelessly. Jesus taught his disciples to pray methodically. Jesus taught his disciples to pray persistently or shamelessly. Thirdly, Jesus taught his disciples to pray believingly or confidently. As Kent Hughes says, persistence is an indication of our soul's confidence. Jesus says, it will be given. You will find. The door will be opened. Therefore, those who continue asking, seeking, and knocking are those who believe God will answer. As Philip Ryken says, in these verses, Jesus assures us that God will answer our prayers. He offers this assurance not just once or twice, but six times, 3 in verse 9 and 3 in verse 10. In verse 9, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Our asking, seeking, and knocking will not be in vain. God will give. God will reveal. God will open. And in case we have any doubt about this, Jesus goes on to say, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. There's your six right there. Jesus repeats himself to give us extra assurance that our prayers will be answered. Of course, Jesus is not saying that God will give us anything and everything we want. In this context, he is talking about the way God answers the petitions we make in the Lord's Prayer. And so when we ask for the Father to hallow his name, we can be confident that he will hallow it. When we ask for his kingdom to come, we can be confident that he will move heaven and earth to ensure that his kingdom comes. When we ask him to give us each day our daily bread, we can be confident that he will provide for our needs according to his riches and mercy in Christ Jesus. When we ask him to forgive us our sins and to lead us not into temptation, we can be confident our sins are forgiven. And he will shield us from countless temptations that we know nothing of, that Satan is strategizing even now. As Ryken goes on to say, we will discover when we get to the end of verse 13 that Jesus is talking most specifically about the spiritual blessings that God gives to every believer in Jesus Christ. If we ask for these things, we will receive them. And notice too, he says, that this promise is for everyone who asks, seeks, and knocks. This gives special encouragement to anyone who has never come to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, or who is afraid that God will not give a gracious welcome. Everyone who asks in faith will receive. Everyone who seeks with a sincere heart will find. And everyone who knocks on the door of Jesus Christ will go in and be saved. How can we be so confident? The answer to that question lies in the character of the one making the promises we have just considered. That everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open to him. These are God the Father's promises made to us through Jesus Christ. And what is our God like? That's where Jesus goes next, in verses 11 to 13. What father among you, he asks, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give good gifts to you? That's how it reads in Matthew. But notice here what the good gift is. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the best gift of all. As J.C. Ryle said, the Holy Spirit is beyond doubt the greatest gift which God can bestow upon man. Having this gift, we have all things, life, light, hope, and heaven. Having this gift, we have God the Father's boundless love, God the Son's atoning blood, and full communion with all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Having this gift, we have grace and peace in the world that is now, glory and honor in the world to come. And yet, this mighty gift is held out by our Lord Jesus Christ as a gift to be obtained by prayer. Your heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we need to be people of prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray that we might be possessed of God's Holy Spirit. That he would not only dwell in our hearts by faith, but hold sway over our hearts, directing our thoughts, our attitudes, and our actions. Indeed, we need to pray for this confidently. If we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children when asked, won't God give the best gift of all to those who come to him asking and believing that he will help? Of course he will. We need to pray confidently. We need to pray shamelessly, and we need to pray methodically, saying, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. O Lord, that is our heart's cry. And where it's not, Father, we pray that you would make it our heart's cry. That your name would be hallowed and honored and lifted high above all things. That your kingdom would come to earth. That many more lost sinners in these days would recognize their need for a Savior and turn and trust in Christ. We pray that you would give us each day our daily bread, that everything we need to live here on earth as you have called us to do, you would provide. Lord, clothing, shelter, food. You've told us not to be anxious about these things, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. So, Father, we trust you. And we come to you asking that you would give us those things that we need. Forgive us our sins. And Lord, cause us to be forgiving to others who sin against us. Oh Lord, that we would have sweet fellowship and good relationships with our fellow man, even as we would desire good relationship with you in these days. Oh, how we need fellowship. Father, may we be forgiving, and would you again forgive us our sins. And Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one and from his strategies and from his plans to throw us off course. Lord, may we live such good lives, such holy lives in these days, filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with hope, that others would ask us about our reason for confidence, and that we would be able to share the gospel with them. Oh Lord, guard us from temptation and keep us near to your heart. In Jesus' name.